Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where for over 4 years we've been asking the branch of entrepreneurs who own one. I'm your host Marty McDermott with my co-host Don Johnson, and if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Steve Baxter, the CEO and founder of Sistino. And Sistino is a cutting-edge, web-based, customer loyalty, retention and referral tool that allows franchise businesses to measure and improve customer loyalty. And that's coming up in segment two, a franchise interview. So stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open? Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Who's helping build America one small business at a time? Franchise Inc., a free consulting service.
For years, Franchise Inc., a national company, has been helping people franchise their business concept and help folks like you own a franchise.
With over 2,500 franchise systems out there, it can be awfully confusing. Don't take chances with your future. At Franchise Inc., we've done the homework for you. We can help match your interests and background with the franchise that's right for you. And we only work with proven franchise systems with a solid reputation and track record of success.
The consultants at Franchise Inc. can help you with your short and long-term wealth strategy.
Give us a call today and we'll send you free our best-selling book, Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise.
Remember, it's not just owning a franchise, but finding the right one for you. Call us at 800-961-0420 for a quick consultation to discuss what's important to you, your business, and your future.
The service is free. The book is free. What do you have to lose? Find the business that's right for you.
Call Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420. That's Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where for over 4 years we've been asking the branch entrepreneurs who own one. I'm your host Marty McDermott with my co-host Don Johnson, and if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And today's show is being brought to you by Franchise Times Magazine. Franchise Times is the only magazine that targets both franchisors and multi-unit franchisees, and is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. How are you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
Doing great this week, Marty. How are you?
Good. Doing well. Weather's kind of improving here in Pennsylvania, Don, so I'm kind of happy about that. You know, it's just anxious for the spring and summer to finally hit us, you know?
Right. Spend some time outside.
So,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's supposed to be really nice tomorrow, in fact. I think they said we might hit 70, so yeah, that would be great.
Excellent. Good.
Yeah. Let's see, our last show, Don, had a pretty interesting show last week, didn't we?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, who was our guest last week?
Protect Painters franchise.
Protect Painters, how can I forget? I've never done that before. But it's interesting concept. These guys are under the Service Brands family of franchise concepts. And, I think that's a strength for them as well, isn't it? You know, being under a family of franchise concepts, because it gives you a chance to cross-market with the other brands.
Right.
You know, that they're working with and things like that. And Service Brands are definitely, well, I guess you can kind of call them experts in franchising, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. They got some nice brands within Service Brands, like Mr. Handyman, Molly Maid, 1-800-DRY-CLEAN. And Protect
right,
Painters,
yeah.
I mean, it's just a huge industry. They say it's a $100 billion industry, at least $40 billion when you talk about residential, light commercial. And, you know, I mean, people are always going to need, you know, painting work to be done. So
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm not surprised that there is a franchise for that type of service.
Yeah, I should have asked them too. You know, it seems like more people, because you're not really selling your home these days, you know, and there was a word used last year quite frequently, it was called staycation, saying that people were investing more money into their homes because they realized that they're going to be there a little longer, just like people are taking care of their cars, you know, and
right.
you know, getting them painted or, you know, fixing the transmission, whatever it may be, where in the past you'd get a new one, you know, a new car or, you know, buy a new home, whatever it was. So this is kind of interesting. You know, I think they're in a good place, and it looks like they're certainly growing. But, yeah, I was mostly impressed with the match. It just seemed like a great match for the whole Service Brands concept.
Right. Yeah.
So,
and,
yeah, it was a good show.
He gave a good answer. What types of characteristics you look for in a franchise? What do you call it? The grind stage. They want to just see people who have some energy and tenacity, and people who can get out
right.
and get involved in the local community, have good communication skills, and so you know
Take
they find that type of person.
To do with, yeah, it had nothing to do with painting, did it, Don? I mean,
right.
when we ask about characteristics, yeah. you know, that they're looking for good painters or anything like that. In fact, you're not even going to be painting. With their franchise opportunity anyway, are you? You know, you're going to be hiring, you know, you can
right.
be managing and things like that, but you probably will never pick up a paintbrush a day in your life.
And it's the same
so,
with
yeah.
their other brands. When you have a buy a made franchise,
mm-hmm.
you're hiring people, they're doing
right.
the work, you're managing, growing your company, hiring a handyman for Mr. Handyman, all these different companies, you're not actually doing the work yourself. You could if you want. But,
that's true. You could,
you know,
you
our friend Michael Gerber.
You know?
I mean, you want to be working on the business, not in it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, and again, for you know, a lot of our new listeners, because we pick up new listeners every week. You know, that's important for them to know. In many of these franchise opportunities that we've had on the show up to this point, over 210, 220. You know, most of them, you're really not going to be working in the business. You're going to be working more on the business. Not in every case, but. In many instances, so
right,
yeah, so absolutely, so yeah, so you did a great job, I thought. So, what do we got going on today, Don? Have an interesting show today, don't we? Something a little
yeah,
different.
Yeah, Steve Baxter, CEO and founder of Sistino.
That's interesting.
And you told the people earlier what Sistino does. We're interested to hear about Steve and how he's helping franchise systems in that area.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I know you had some. We had some interesting articles we wanted to get to last week, and of course we never had enough time. I actually brought one with me today too to the studio. So,
okay, good. First, Marty, the Franchise and Business Opportunities Expo has some shows coming up in Denver this weekend and next month, and in Houston and Milwaukee. So,
mm-hmm.
People wanting information can go to usfranchiseexpos.com to get information on those shows. An article I want to start out with by Kevin McKeough. Franchising is set for a post-recession rebound, but credit crimp persists. Franchising suffered a downturn during the recent economic slump, a slide that surprised many in the industry. Typically during a recession, the franchise sector of the economy has done pretty well, says Joe mm-hmm. Sheka, a partner in the law firm of DLA Piper. The recession has proved different. In Illinois, where franchises must register with the state, 309 companies filed registrations in 2010, down 13% from 2007. There was a similar decline nationally, according to data from the IFA. It kind of makes sense. I mean, if the economy's kind of rough, there might be less companies starting up a franchise system. So they're talking just in that one state, 309 companies filed registrations.
That's amazing, isn't it?
I mean, is that 300 new companies filing to be a franchise? I guess so. That's amazing. Over 300 in one state.
I guess so, yeah. That's incredible.
And it goes on, there are signs that a turnaround's beginning. The IFA reports that the number of franchise businesses will rise this year to almost 800,000, a 2.5% increase.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that number, yeah.
Yeah. Say, we see a glimmer of hope in the franchising business. It's a very resilient industry, says the IFA president and CEO, Steve Caldera. Even so, there are pressures that will limit franchise growth. He says the biggest challenge, of course, is loans to fund new businesses. He cites another IFA study finding that 87% of franchisors and 55% of franchisees report that lack of credit undercut their ability to expand. It's really incredible. 87%
wow.
of franchisors, I mean, that's how devastating, you know, just not the, you know, the Great Recession, the economy, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, the whole access to, you know, the credit. And that's been my business, and I've seen it firsthand.
Right.
How much it's collapsed, and here a couple of years later, there's really you know, it really hasn't been much better. You know, it's a shame they haven't utilized.
Difference.
Yeah, it's just. Banks
I mean, it's
aren't.
Amazing, Don. When I go back, you know, I do this. I frequently go back and listen to, you know, the older shows. You know, I'll listen to shows sometimes 2 years ago. Every day, I'll listen to like at least one show that we've done. You know, and
right.
you know, when you go back and listen to the shows from like 2 years ago. It sounds like sometimes it's like the same conversation, you know? I mean, whoever knew that we'd still be talking about this at
right.
this point, you know? I just never imagined in a million years. But, it, you know, I mean, again, you can see this little light at the end of the tunnel, but it doesn't seem like anything really that significant, you know?
Right.
But at least I guess it's going in the right direction now, which
yeah.
is a good thing. Thank God it's not going the other way. You know, so
access
absolutely.
To credit needs to improve for industry to improve, he says. It's a view
mm-hmm.
shared by Mr. Shaka, who has about 30 franchises of active clients. In the past, financing has been fairly available, but locations have been hard to find because of competition in those locations. Now, because mm-hmm. a lot of businesses have closed or shrunk their operations, you've got locations available, but companies are having a tougher time finding financing. So,
right.
And they asked the question, what do you think? And a person wrote here, now is a great time to consider opening a business. Landlords are on the ropes. You can find locations that would normally never be available and make a great deal.
True.
Interest rates are at historic lows. The government
mm-hmm.
is urging banks to make loans to stimulate the economy. Most importantly,
true.
In the not-too-distant future, when we come out of this malaise, the businesses that have established themselves on a solid footing now will benefit significantly from the rebound. If given a choice, the majority of people would like to own their own business, be their own boss, and build their dream rather than working for someone else. The two biggest things that hold them back are not having the know-how and business plan and the fear
right.
of failure. These are also
right.
the best reasons to consider a franchise when going into business. So you see, a franchise
yeah.
already has a system in place. You might consider SYSTEM, an acronym, for Save Yourself Substantial Time, Energy, and Money. So the word system, S-Y-S-T-E-M, he says, save yourself substantial time, energy, and money, I guess by investing in a franchise.
That's clever, isn't it?
Because you'll save time because of having a lot of the business systems in place. You don't have to reinvent
right.
the wheel. It's already there for you.
Well,
money, meaning...
2 weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah
I'm just going to
remember that. The Muscle Max, the girl who went into Muscle Max... She was saying that she just didn't have the time to
right.
create a business, you know? So writing a business plan, you know, for anyone who's ever done one, could be quite time-consuming
right?
If you want it to be accurate. So, I would definitely agree with that.
That was a good show. People should go listen to that Max Muscle franchise.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here's something else, Marty, starting a business over 50, and this is through AARP.org by Jeff Williams. here are five franchises that may be a good fit for older workers. We've all seen statistics on how new businesses tend to crash and burn, which is probably the last thing you want to think about if you're over 50 and thinking of going from employee to entrepreneur. Not that the appetite for risk disappears after age 51, but most people starting a business at this point in their lives are in it for more than the adventure. Being your own boss is a satisfying concept. Control your own destiny is another. You may have dreams of padding the retirement income and having a profit engine to pass on to your children. For many dream chasers, opening a franchise may be a smart career move, allowing them to open a business and draw on the experience of those who have already run it. Doug Shaddle, CEO of Rhino 7 Franchise Development Corp. Out of North Carolina, believes that the odds of failure for a franchise are low. If you follow the system the franchisor set up for you, you're probably going to make a lot more than trusting the stock market. There are lots of glowing reports of franchise success, but statistics are undependable. It's still possible to fail. He says, even the best-designed business models will not always work for everyone. Buying a franchise business is a risk that requires real effort to be successful. There is a false expectation out there. All you have to do is turn the key, open the door to the business, and the magic will happen. We've always talked about that.
Turnkey system, yeah.
So they went on and they talked about, before you commit to a franchise, ask yourself three questions. One, is this business a good match for me? Not every franchise is ideal for someone over 50. Issues of health and energy may arise.
True. Good point, yeah.
Unless you're truly loaded, you're probably going to start out as an owner-operator, meaning working long hours in a very hands-on way.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to find out if it's a good fit for you. Is this
true.
An appropriate risk? Always keep in mind that you'll be risking money from your retirement nest egg. If your franchise goes under and takes your money with it, will you have enough left to live comfortably? So that's the second thing. Is this an appropriate risk? And the third thing, do I have enough money? It's not uncommon to invest $50,000 to $100,000 or much more when buying your own Subway, Great Clip, UPS store, Ace Hardware, or one of the thousands of other franchises out there. You'll probably need extremely good credit as well. Not everyone gets to play in the franchise game if you do choose well. And then, Marty, they talked about five franchises that they feel are 50-plus friendly type franchises. They talked about the floor covering business, Floor Coverings International.
Okay.
They went into the tax services and Ronnie Deutsch Tax Center, who we had on a few weeks ago.
Right. Oh, interesting.
They talked about in-home senior care, a franchise called Home Helpers. We've had many of those franchise-type businesses on the show over the years.
Right.
They talked about an auto finance company called J.D. Breider. Not too familiar
with them.
Yeah. And they talked about the car service center sector and a franchise called Express Oil Change and Service Center. So
pretty good recommendations, I guess, yeah. I definitely see the senior care thing, right?
Right.
I mean, that would make a lot of sense. You and I have been talking about them for a long time. The taxes, there's so many choices. The challenge becomes which one do you go with, because there's just so many more choices today than there was 10 years ago, particularly with senior care. There must be about 15 or 20 of them now, I guess, at this point, Don. I've kind of lost track, So which one do you go with from that point? And then from there, I think that's a different series of questions, is meeting with the founders of the company, trying to get an idea of the mission, talking with as many franchisees as possible, within that system. That's
right.
Really critical. And again, you can get access to that information. And the franchisee, for the most part, is not going to steer you wrong, are they? Again, they went through this whole thing, so I think they can empathize probably better than anybody what the prospective franchisee is actually going through. It's it must be a nerve-wracking process, to go through the whole thing. When you're at that point of your life, 50, are you in a position to take, any type of risk, to lose money? It's got to be pretty scary for some of these people, getting into this. So, everything's a risk, and you and I have spoken a lot about, the benefit of going with franchise brokers. When I started the show 4 years ago, we talked about franchise brokers, I wasn't always that crazy about them. But, you know, we had a lot of them on the show over the years. And I've been very impressed with, you know, the services that they provide, you know. I mean, just so they make clear, or our listeners know, or the clients know, that, you know, the way they make money, of course, is if you buy a franchise within their system. I think that's very important to know.
Right.
Kind of like, you know, somebody selling real estate. It's not much of a difference. So, yeah. So, yeah. I think that's a great article. I think it's it has some important questions. Here's one, Don. I don't know if you've heard this one. I was fascinated by this one. You know, when I'm teaching my marketing students, or really any business student, we always talk about contingency plans and asking the question, what if? So picture yourself in this situation, Don. You've purchased a Seattle's Best Coffee, okay? And I've heard nothing but wonderful things about Seattle's Best Coffee, but you may have heard a little information about what's going on with Borders. So Seattle's Best steamed about Borders store closures. Starbucks Corporation, Seattle's Best Coffee unit, said the Borders Group, Inc. plans to reject store leases and abandon property could damage the Java seller's brand name and expose its trade secrets. Seattle's Best lodged a protest of the book retailer's move to close 200 stores in the United States bankruptcy court in Manhattan because the plan doesn't properly address how the Seattle's Best cafes that operated in most of those Borders locations will be dealt with. I never thought about this before. I mean, what happens in that situation, you know?
Right. Well, I guess that's the risk of, like, co-branding. You're,
yeah.
You're tying yourself to another company you don't own. That company has
exactly problems.
I guess you shouldn't put all your eggs in one basket by going with that route, but that must be pretty devastating. I wonder if many of those are corporate-owned or some of those are franchisees who are with the Borders.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, let me see if the article actually gets into it, because I just pulled this up this morning. So Seattle's Best said its interests will be materially affected by closing of the Borders stores, and it may need to take steps to protect those interests, particularly with respect to its trademarks, trade dress, and also trade secrets. The coffee company didn't specify the nature of those trade secrets, perhaps how to whip up the perfect latte, but it did say that it provided training and proprietary information to the Borders employees who work the cafes so that Seattle's Best beverages are prepared in accordance with SBC trade secrets. Seattle's Best also fretted in court papers about the fate of everything from coffee cups to espresso machines that bear its logo and may be left in the dark. For example, landlords who receive back the closed stores once the Borders leases are broken should not be authorized to continue operation of a cafe in a current location using SBC trademarks and processes, Seattle's Best said. Borders spokeswoman Mary Davis said the company is committed to working with its vendors, but declined specifically to comment on Seattle's Best objection. You know, I mean, it goes to show you that, I mean, you know, even in franchising, I mean, things happen, you know, just like this, you know, that you may just have never planned for. You know, I mean, you see
right.
what's going on in the book industry. I've always liked Borders. We don't have a lot of Borders out here in Pennsylvania, but I guess you guys got a lot of them out there in New Jersey, don't you? You probably have one.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's I wasn't happy when I heard that. I've always liked that company.
Yeah, no, it's always, you know, fun to go in there and, you know, of course, get a cup of coffee and things like that. But so this should be interesting, you know. It's one of the things we should probably invite one of our franchise attorneys on the show, you know, Nancy Lennard or Kevin Hind. You know, we could talk to them about all these fun topics that go on
right.
Within the franchise community, you know. So it's just an interesting topic to talk about. So, yeah. So good article's done. Why don't we do this? I see Steve has called in. So we'll take a quick break, Don, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Big Mouth!
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic, where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team,
Big Mouth,
as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth Advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where for over 4 years we've been asking the franchipreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today because we're meeting with Steve Baxter, the CEO and founder of Sistino. And Sistino is a cutting-edge, web-based customer loyalty, retention, and referral tool that allows franchise businesses to measure and improve customer loyalty. Hey, Steve, how you doing today? Welcome to the show.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well, Steve. Thank you. Joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson, Steve. And I know, let's say good morning, Don.
Yeah, Steve, appreciate you coming on. Very interested to hear the Sistino system and how it's working in the franchise industry. So are you ready for our questions?
Absolutely. Thank you. And thanks for the invitation. I really appreciate it.
Good.
You're welcome, Steve. Steve, I thought a good place to start us, if you can tell us a little bit about Sistino.
Sure. Sustainer is a web-based software solution designed for the franchising industry that turns feedback from your customers into actionable items. In a nutshell, we give your customers a voice so that you can improve your business, generate more revenue, increase profitability, become more competitive, and integrate emerging technologies such as social media and mobile platforms to become even more customer-centric and service-oriented.
Interesting. Next question. I have my marketing students listening to this, Steve. So if you could tell us the difference between retaining a customer and attracting a new customer, I think that would be great.
Okay. Well, I mean, apart from the obvious, you know, that, you know, one customer you already have, and you know, the other one you don't.
Mm-hmm.
I would say you don't yet. I would say that the principal difference is cost. You know, we all know it costs a lot more to get a new customer than it does to keep to keep one. And regardless of the statistics, is it 4 times, 8 times, 10 times the cost of getting a new customer rather than keep one? It really doesn't matter. I mean, the fact of the matter is it's just more. And it's paid for at the expense of profit. Existing customers usually spend more with you. It doesn't cost you anything to get that increase in revenue. And so, you know, really by focusing on this retention, focusing on keeping the customers you've already have, according to the research we've seen and we've read, that you know, if you can just increase your customer retention by 5%, it can have a positive impact on your profitability of anywhere between 25 and 125%, depending on the industry that you're in. So it's hugely significant. And I think in these, economic times, I think people are really focused on that customer retention.
Yeah,
which
well
is you know, a customer who's already used your services, and it's you know, it's cheaper. It's more expensive to go after a new customer. But what can businesses do, Steve, with the information that Sustainer Software collects from the customers? Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, there's loads of things you can do with it. I don't think we've got time to go over everything. But if I can, let's hit some highlights. Well, first off, to get a clear understanding of what your customers are thinking in a way that it's easy to understand and it doesn't require any analysis. Second of all, it shows you what you need to do at 9 o'clock on a Monday morning to dramatically improve your business. Third, I would say it turns those customers that you love, that love your business, into a digital sales force by way of integrating that information into all of the main social media platforms, and fourth, it tells you what you need to do, what you need to change, and what you need to do more of. And lastly, I would say it shows you the financial implications of your situation. In other words, what it's going to cost you if you don't do what we're recommending, and what you're gaining as a result of taking the actions that we're identifying should you take them.
Mm. I love how you said turn your customers into a sales force, Steve. I think that's brilliant. I'm going to use that. I'll quote you in the future on that. But yeah, that's very powerful, isn't it, Don? You know, if you think about it.
Yeah, definitely.
Whole thing. It's almost amazing.
Well,
Steve. It's
an underserved. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's true. You know, it's always amazing how many businesses out there, though, are constantly trying to go for, I hate to use the word new blood, you know, instead of focusing on their current customers. I never quite understood the psychology behind all that. You know what I mean? So this just makes so much sense.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, right? And, you've got all these customers. When you look at the statistics, actually, quite frightening. You know, most small to medium-sized businesses lose something like 20 to 40% of their customers, you know, every year. And so, you know, they've all had they've lost more customers than they over the years than they currently have. And so, if you can hold on to those customers, you have a dramatic improvement in your profitability.
Yeah, well,
you mentioned before about social media. Talk more about how Sustainer can integrate into the software, what's very important and what all businesses should be, you know, maximizing these days are the social media platforms, Steve.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Sustainer in and of itself isn't a social media platform. We don't need to invent another one of those. You know, the race has already been won. What isn't so clear to many businesses is how to use those platforms, but use the platforms that already exist to the maximum extent. I'm not saying that there isn't plenty of expert advice and theory out there. In many respects, there's too much for it, and it's confusing to the average small business owner who wants to simply wake up, do what does best for his business, go to bed at night, and at some point in between, ensure that he or she isn't being left behind in the technology dark ages. So what we've done with Sustino is to integrate it with all the major social media platforms out there. It's Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, etc. And we've automated almost everything that a small business owner would want to do with respect to engaging both existing and prospective customers.
Wow. And the franchise community, Steve, has it sounds like they've embraced the technology. You know, I mean, I know some franchisors are anal about all this stuff sometimes, you know what I mean, saying, okay, is this not part of their system? And, you know, I know a lot of new franchisees, you know, Don and I have seen there's a lot of older people getting into franchising these days, you know, I mean, in their 50s, sometimes even 60s, you know, so I think the word social media sometimes even scares them, you know, Facebook and LinkedIn, so it's very intimidating, so, you know, you can see all the benefits, but it sounds like the franchise community has embraced this technology.
Yes, absolutely. I speak at pretty much all of our customer conferences, and I ask this same question, you know, each time I speak about, you know, do they have their own Facebook fan page, for example? Are they using Twitter? What is it that they're doing? And every single time, as the months go by, I see more and more hands go up, and it's not the young guys in the crowd. You know, it is. You know, it is the an older demographic which is embracing it, and it's great to see.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Can you explain the difference between Sustino and other social media platforms such as Foursquare, Steve?
Yeah. Okay. So Foursquare simply tells you that someone has been to your place of business. It's novel, but from my personal opinion, like, you know, what's the point of it? Sustino tells you what they bought and what they thought. I mean, in my opinion, Foursquare is at the crossroads in their business model. They've lost the consumer market race to Facebook Places. So their only hope is as a business platform, and I think that's going to be pretty tough if you don't have any data about the consumer and their transaction data, which is precisely what Sustino is capturing. It's just not enough to know that somebody came in and left. If you want to understand what's going on, you need that data. So I think the benefits of Sustino don't lie in either this category. What Sustino is strong at all by itself. Sustino is strong all by itself. But if you want to tap into this power of social media platforms such as Facebook, Foursquare, and Twitter, then really the power comes from seamlessly integrating between them, and Sustino gives you that.
Interesting.
Each of these platforms are good in their own merits, but where the real power comes from is sort of capturing the essence of each of them in an easy way. And Sustino is sort of like a platform or a foundation to enable you to do that. It's very simple to do.
That's interesting. Go ahead, Don. You're up.
What's the main difference, Steve, between Sustino software and online review websites such as Yelp?
Oh, that's a really good question. The first difference, I would say, is the quality of the reviews. Let's face it, the only people who go online to post reviews are people who are particularly upset with an axe to grind, sort of, I'll tell you so, right. I'll show you attitude.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I think it's particularly the case with Yelp. These Yelpers position themselves as sort of like legends in their own lunchtimes and, for example, enjoy being a self-made expert food critic for the day. These online review sites like Yelp are also a free-for-all for your competition to come along and say bad things about you. You know, it's like the Wild West. I mean, there's really not a lot of control over them. And you know, if we're talking about Yelp specifically, you know, they've been widely publicized recently, there's a few court cases in motion where, you know, I mean, they're in the business of making money out of these reviews. They're in the business of selling advertising. And I think they've been using some rather questionable tactics with businesses to reposition the good reviews and the bad reviews, regardless. I mean, this is all in the public domain. And I think it can be confusing really to the consumer, you know, what to trust and what we don't trust. And I think from the business perspective as well, you know, when they're receiving those phone calls from Yelp trying to sell them advertising, that's absolutely not what we do. The Sustaino data comes straight from the customer. The only way that you can get data into the Sustaino system, the only way you can get reviews from consumers or feedback from consumers, if you've done business with them. And we don't control the results. Nothing's manipulated. And it's also a question of the focus. I mean, Yelp's really sort of like focused on those reviews. Our focus is to enable you to use that feedback to improve your business. And I'd say that the data in Yelp is completely disconnected from the process of helping you improve your business. We are tying the data to every element of your organization, so by region, by person, by product, by service, right down to the individual transaction type. So there is a one-for-one connection between the data, the person who is giving you the data, the review, and yourself. So if you've got a complaint, you know precisely who it is, you know precisely who to call, you know precisely what the nature of the complaint is, and we're delivering that to you instantaneously by text message, by email, over the web, however you want to choose it. And the other thing is, it's not all negative. Those people who are giving you positive reviews on Yelp, what next? I mean, somebody's saying it's highly likely I recommend your business and I love you. Well, what do you do next? Well, there's nothing you can do next with Yelp. Well, the next comes from turning that customer into a digital salesperson for you. If somebody's saying to you, I love your business, I'm an advocate, I would recommend you to my friends, what we're doing is we're taking that feedback, we're taking that position and turning it into a referral via Facebook, via Twitter, via LinkedIn, via email. And this is the point I was the question before. We are turning your customers into a digital sales force to me, for you.
And any information, good or bad, is always going to help a company. So I can see why a company, you know, would want to find out, just not whether someone's unhappy or happy. They want to find out the reason why, because that can change, you know, that can help make adjustments to their business. You're always looking to fine-tune, and if there's a common type of complaint, you know, you want to fix that. If a lot of people are happy about a certain part of your business, well, maybe you should expand that part of your business. So, yeah, that can be critical information. That's real key. More and more businesses, Steve, are creating Facebook fan pages, but many of them don't know what to do with the pages after they're created. Do you have any tips for business owners on how to best utilize a Facebook fan page?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, let's take Sustaino out of this. You know, the point of social media in business, the movement behind it, if you will, is to change from a telling mode, you telling everyone how great you are, telling people why you think they should buy from you, etc. Changing from that mode into a conversation mode, and you're just one voice in the conversation. The rest of the voices are from your customers, and like any conversation, if you dominate it or try to control it, then you'll pay the price for that one way or another. So get yourself a fan page. Engage your customers from their perspective, be meaningful, add value, put coupons out there, celebrate the wins, of course. You've got to put some good stuff out there. Provide interesting and valuable content to your customers, but keep in the back of your mind that nobody cares about what you say about your business. That's a strong statement, but it's a bold statement, but it's true. Nobody cares about what you say about your business anymore. What they care about is what their friends say about your business. And their friends are talking about your business in Facebook. And so that's an important point to make, I would say. Now, Sustaino is a great first step after you've created your fan page to get the conversation going. But it really is just one component of our overall media strategy. One of the things that I find is that people create that Facebook fan page and then they're looking at it for the next 5 minutes and saying, what do we do now? One of the easiest things to do is to sort of get the feedback from your customers streaming into that Facebook fan page. And that's one of the things that Sustino does. Automatically, as you start to get the feedback from your customers, we stream that right into your Facebook fan page. And I mean, I can give you examples like PostNet, for example. If you go to the PostNet fan page on Facebook, you'll see there's over 600 pages of reviews. It's about 14,000 reviews that have come directly and automatically from Sustino and streamed into their Facebook fan page. So what's the difference between Yelp and Sustino? Well, go and find 14,000 reviews of anything on Yelp, and I think you'd struggle. And almost every one of our businesses have got thousands of reviews that are coming in from the data, which is at the same time being used to help them improve their business.
Wow.
Yeah, that's so incredible to try to manage all that data and information. It could be just a valuable tool for a company to have something like Sustino to just reel all that information in and how to best utilize it. It's interesting.
That's fantastic. Steve, we have to take a quick break. Can you stick around for another segment?
You got it.
That'll be fantastic. We'll be right back with more Franchise Interviews.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919. Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand? The opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach.
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where for over 4 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs to own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Steve Baxter, the CEO and founder of Sustino. And Sustino is a cutting-edge, web-based, customer loyalty, retention and referral tool that allows franchise businesses to measure and improve customer loyalty. And Steve, what types of businesses benefit most from Sistemo?
The real short answer to that is any business that's got customers and cares enough that they want to keep them. The bulk of our customers are in the service industry, I would say, where there's a transaction sort of takes place. You know, it's either a carpet cleaning or a house being painted or something being cared for. So service industry is perfect. Quick service isn't an area that we focus on, but pretty much everybody else we do.
Interesting. And how many customers does Sistemo currently have, Steve?
We're growing pretty rapidly. We've got over 12,000 companies that are using the software on a daily basis, and that also translates to millions of consumers that are giving feedback to those businesses every single day.
Maybe tell us, Steve, about a specific success story you've had with a franchise or business.
Sure, we've got a few actually. We've talked a lot about social media in this call and Facebook fan pages, and Sistemo has one ourselves. We use our software to talk to our customers. So if you want to find out more, just go to our Facebook, search for Sistemo on the Facebook fan pages, and you'll find, because there you will be able to read literally thousands of reviews that are coming from our customers. And there's a great video there featuring a couple of our customers. One of them is Jamper International, the other one is Input Solutions, and I guess these are the ones that really sort of stand out in my mind. In the case of Jampro, Rich Kassane, their CEO, speaking about the amount of business we've helped them retain, and he will tell everybody we've helped them retain over $10 million worth of business in the 24 months or so that they've been using the software. And Ray Margiano, the CEO of Foot Solutions, talks about the 13,000 customers or so that have responded this year, and the hundreds of thousands of dollars in new business that we've generated for them, not only in repeat customers, but also new businesses, which is coming as a result of helping you turn those customers into a digital sales force. We got so many success stories. But, one of my favorites is Chemdry. As a Chemdry franchisee that was on the phone with us as we were setting him up, it takes about 10, 15 minutes or so to set up a new franchisee on the system. And as we're finishing up the call and saying goodbye, we just want to make sure everything was okay. And, he sent off his first bunch of feedback requests, and he started to receive them as we were sort of in the goodbye mode. And he's receiving his first reviews and actually his first few referrals during that telephone call. And one of those referrals was for an 11-story condo building that one of his customers referred him into, and he closed it a few days later. And so, literally, he paid for the system for many years to come.
Wow.
Before we'd even got off the phone. So it's great when we hear, when we get success stories like that. But we've got so many of them.
So how did you get into the whole thing, Steve? How did you come up with this whole concept?
A few years ago, the company is just over 3 years old, and we've been selling the software now for about 2.5 years or so. It took took about a year and a bit to develop. But what was obvious at the back end of 2006 and early 2007 is that the way people were beginning to communicate had changed. They were using the web a lot. People talking about Web 2.0, and social media wasn't called social media at the time, and MySpace was fairly popular. And long story short, just the way that these people were beginning to talk to each other, it just said to me that businesses would need to respond at some point, and businesses would need to talk to their consumers in the way that consumers wanted to talk to each other. And so I didn't believe there was anything out there that would connect them in the way that Sistemo is doing today, and really giving those customers a voice, that voice, that conversation, if you will, just isn't between the business and the consumer. It's this triangle, if you will, the business, the consumer, and the consumer's friends and family and the people that they influence. And so that was really the driving force behind the idea.
Wow. That's a great story, isn't it, Don? It's like
yeah.
one of the things you wish you thought of. So, Steve, how do our listeners get more information on using your service? Any websites they can go to get more information?
Yeah, absolutely. You can go to sustino.com, S-Y-S-T-I-N-O.com. Go there, and we've got a quick form that people can fill in, and we'll give them a call. And of course, you know, we've always got the Facebook fan page. So if someone wants to know more, they can just go to our wall. They can like us. They go to our wall. They can post a message, and we'll be in touch with them. So it's pretty easy to get in contact with us, or you can just throw us an email. And my email address is steve.baxter@sustino.com.
That's fantastic. And I want to thank you again, Steve. You've been a fantastic guest, Don, and I would love to have you back in the near future.
Very welcome. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank
you, Steve. Great job.
It was an interesting show, huh, Don?
Yeah, definitely. You know, businesses should always look on how to maximize full control of every aspect of their business, and this is important, especially tying in all the social media content, but just knowing your business and your customers.
Well, it's like, you know, as I always say, you know, to my marketing students, I mean, the customers are really your best salespeople, aren't they, Don?
Yeah. Right.
I mean, it's and it's hard finding good salespeople these days too. So,
right.
You know, the services make so much sense. So I think they got a great service, and you know, I'd like to keep our eye on them and have them back in the future. You know, so you did a great job. So good job on segment one today, Don. For our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com, gofranchise.com, franchisefunding.net, Franchise World Radio, where there's a lot going on there for the franchise community. I didn't forget that, Don, did I? I forgot last week. So I made a little notation. So good job, Don, and thanks, everyone, for listening. And I'll see you next week, Don.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.